Good morning, everyone. I wish you all a good morning and a happy Father's Day to all of the fathers in our midst. How many fathers do we have here this morning? I'd like to know which father has the most descendants among us. Who would that be? Anybody got more than three descendants? How many? Four daughters and six grandchildren. Can anybody beat that? Mark, I think you're our winner this morning. Congratulations. I have a single son. My son Forrest is 20 years of age. This morning he got up early and wandered down into the kitchen and said, "Happy Father's Day" to me. He was only half awake. And then he said, and I said, "You know, thank you very much." And then he said, "You know, I'll be free after 2 o'clock today if you want to do something." To translate that, that means, "You can take me out for lunch or for dinner today, Dad. I'd really like that." Very proud of him. He's a student at Santa Rosa Junior College. He has a beautiful girlfriend, and he works at Target. And he's got the world by the tail as far as he's concerned, and I'm very proud of him. A little bit later, he came back into the kitchen this morning, and he handed me a shirt that had a tie on it and said, "Happy Father's Day, Dad," and I was very thankful for that. He'd asked me a couple weeks earlier, "What would you like for Father's Day?" And I thought about it, and I said, "You know, I could really use a new tie." So that's what he got me, a shirt and a tie combination. And he said, I hope this fits you, Dad. If it doesn't fit you, we can take it back and get something that does fit." I hope he was referring to the shirt. I hope he wasn't referring to the tie. "I hope this tie fits you," but... very proud of him. So happy Father's Day to each and every one of you fathers here this morning. If you have been with us the last couple Sundays, you might have said, "Gee, Pastor Mark, we really appreciate your preaching, but don't you ever preach from the New Testament? Do you always only preach from the Old Testament?" This morning is my answer to that. Yes, I do look at and do preach at the New Testament occasionally. So this morning we're looking at Luke chapter 17. Before returning to the Old Testament for next Sunday. But this is a wonderful passage this morning, passage about the 10 lepers. The 10 lepers had a lot in common. Though they came from different backgrounds, different families, different cultures, they were brought together in unity because of the dreaded disease, leprosy. They comprised a community of sorts. They were a group of people who had one another. The disease pulled them together like a family. Because of the disease, they didn't have other family members. Their other family members had shunned them. They didn't have friends. Their other friends had said goodbye to them. These group of people, all they had were one another. They were rejected. They were outcast. They were discardable people in the eyes of many people. Leprosy at the time was a feared and dreaded disease. Nobody wanted leprosy. Leprosy is a very contagious skin disease. If somebody this morning came into church with leprosy, there's a very good chance that at least one person by the end of the service would be leaving the service with leprosy. That's how contagious leprosy is. It's passed by simple contact, by shaking a hand, by a kiss on the cheek or an embrace. Leprosy is extremely, extremely contagious. Leprosy leaves its victims with great disfigurement. It literally eats away the skin. It's comparable to today's flesh-eating bacteria. As a result, lepers were considered clean, unclean. Unclean in the eyes of God and unclean in the eyes of other people. Nobody wanted to be around somebody with leprosy. Therefore, there were laws. Anybody who had leprosy and approached somebody else or approached a group of people had to yell, "Unclean! Unclean!" to notify everybody that they had leprosy and to give that other person and that other group of people fair warning. Fair warning for what? Fair warning to run away, fair warning to leave. And that's what people did when they met somebody with leprosy. They would walk the other way because they did not want to have contact with this dreaded disease. Today, there are no fears about leprosy. There are drugs that cure it. There are drugs that stop it in its tracks. There are drugs that prevent it from being given to other people. And so if you receive a letter in the mail that asks for support for lepers at somewhere else in the world, there's a good chance that that letter is a scam letter trying to get your money, because it's telling you that, well, you know, we read about leprosy in the Bible, and Jesus had compassion with people for people with leprosy, and therefore you need to have compassion for people with leprosy, so send us your money. If you want to have compassion on people today, please give to work toward the dreaded diseases of HIV, AIDS, or tuberculosis. Those are today's dreaded disease, the modern leprosy. However, at the time in the first century, there was no cure for leprosy. There was no medication. There was no drug in the pipeline of some pharmaceutical company. There was no regiment of treatment that some doctor could provide you. There was nothing. Except, word was spreading around that there was this traveling preacher who could cure diseases. Maybe he could cure leprosy. Well, you be the judge. Was the act of coming to Jesus by the 10 lepers, was that an act of faith, or was that an act of desperation? I think there was a good dose of both of those. These people had no hope. They had no possibility. They knew what future was in store for them. Leprosy would continue to eat away at their skin and cause disfigurement, and cause ugliness, cause hideousness, and eventually provide them with death. But these lepers heard about Jesus and went and looked for an answer. So there was a certain amount of faith, there's a certain amount of belief that Jesus could help them. And so they went and looked for him. Now, they didn't approach Jesus directly because of the disease. They couldn't exactly make an appointment with him, and they couldn't walk up to him. But they shouted at him from a distance and asked for mercy. They shouted and asked for mercy, and that placed them in a wonderful position before God. It showed that they had a certain amount of faith that Jesus could do this. And they reached out to Jesus. Jesus told them to show themselves to the priests. Was kind of a strange command in that situation, because priests are where you go to declare that you're clean. The lepers could have said, wait a minute, Jesus, first cleanse us, and then we'll go talk to the priests. The priests were not people set up to cure diseases. The priests were there to declare somebody clean. Because of the disease, the lepers were considered unclean, and they couldn't be clean until priests declared that they were clean. It's a little bit like a couple who goes to church to get married. They come in as separate individuals. They stand up in front of church, and they remain separate individuals until the pastor declares, I now pronounce you husband and wife. The lepers were unclean until a priest would say, okay, I see that you are clean, I declare you clean. Jesus said, go in the state that you are, present yourself to the priests, and they will declare you clean. And in obedience, the lepers did that. And in the process of leaving, and in the process of traveling to the priests, the lepers were cured. It was a tremendous act of faith on the part of the lepers, but they did it. And as they approached the priest, they were clean enough for the priest to be able to say, "Yes, you are clean." All of the lepers were cleansed. All 10 of them. 10 is a complete number. When we come upon the number 10 in Scripture, we know it means completeness, wholeness. The 10 commandments. 1,000 years. 10 times 10 times 10 years. 1,000 cubits. 10 times 10 times 10 cubits. Completeness, wholeness. So all of the lepers were together as a group. All of the lepers were there who were supposed to be there, and all of them were cleansed. Yet as we read, only one turned around and said thank you. Only one. It's kind of surprising. You would think that all 10 of them would be very grateful. And Jesus asked the one leper who came back to say thank you, "Where are the other 9? That leper didn't know. Maybe they had important business to attend to. Maybe they had to rush back to family to reunite because they missed their family so much. Maybe they had a relationship that they wanted to continue and pursue, and they thought that if they ran back quickly, they could pursue that relationship and mend it. We don't know what happened to them. But that one leper was grateful. That one leper realized the importance of Jesus. Realized that Jesus was not just a traveling preacher. Not just somebody who could cure him, but realized he was God incarnate in our midst. And the leper fell down and worshiped him. And as we read, that one leper was a Samaritan. Now, what's the significance of this? Why does it matter that he was from Samaria? Well, the Samaritans were considered outcasts by the Jews. They were also descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but according to the real Jews, the important Jews, these were kind of fallen by the wayside Jews. They weren't really important. They weren't really faithful. Jesus didn't come for them. Jesus came for the faithful, and only for the faithful. I can't imagine a more shunned person in the first century, a more unwelcome person than a Samaritan who was considered an outcast, and a Samaritan who had leprosy. If there was anybody who shouldn't be saying thank you, if there was anybody who could be, by all rights, completely bitter, this Samaritan with leprosy would be it. And yet this is the one who said thank you. The Jews were the ones to receive Jesus, but it was the Samaritan who said thank you. Why was it? Why was he appreciative? Well, maybe partly because he realized how much he had received. He realized how blessed he was as a completely unclean outcast, yet receiving love from Jesus. You give a $5 bill to a rich person, and the rich person looks at it and says, "Yeah, so what? What's this for? Is this what? I don't need this." But you give a $5 bill to a very poor person, the very poor person says, "Wow, I can buy a meal with this," and can show extreme thanksgiving. Jesus said to those who have been given much, much would be expected. But also for those who have been most forgiven, the most appreciation would come from them. Makes me wonder what we are not thankful for. What we take for granted. We have been tremendously blessed in all areas of our lives, in all areas of our being. And yet, are we thankful for it? Or do we go about our daily lives like the other 9 and say, "Well, yeah, I've received this, but, you know, I'm busy with other things. My life comes first. We need to be thankful for each and every blessing that we have received. And first and foremost, we need to be thankful for the salvation that we have been given through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus came into the world not just for his own people, the Jews, but for all mankind, including you and me. Jesus came into the world because we, like the lepers, are unclean. We have sin in our lives, sin that has touched each and every facet of our being. And we can be thankful to God for all that we have received. All of the physical blessings, all of the spiritual blessings, the salvation that we have received in Jesus Christ. Today being Father's Day, we can be very thankful to fathers. We can be each thankful to our own father for having brought us into the world. We can be thankful to our fathers for doing what they could, the best that they could, in raising us the way that they did. For those of us who can, be thankful for that and appreciate that. But we also have to be thankful to our Heavenly Father, because ultimately he is the one who brought us into the world. And not only brought us into the world to give us being, but is with us day by day, providing us all of the blessings that we need to live, to have faith, and to enjoy. So let's be thankful in all that we do, thankful for all that we have received, and realize that Jesus is in our life, to forgive us, to give us the promised gift of eternal life, to live with us forever and to love us forever. And no matter what we go through, no matter what we have done in our past, no matter what mistake we make, no matter how unclean we may feel that we are loved and cherished by our Heavenly Father. Let's pray together. O Lord, our God, we thank you that your love is so great for us, your acceptance so big, and your desire for us so great. Thank you for your cleansing of the lepers so many years ago. Thank you that in that we can see our story, that no matter who we are, you have cleansed us through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the promise of eternal life. We pray that we would live lives of gratitude for all that you've done and all that you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.